Good morning.
Good morning.
I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll be reading the first three verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That's the theme that I'd like to consider this morning, the Christian race. It is interesting how the Spirit of God uses such things as an athlete, farmer, running a race to teach spiritual truth. Very likely the reference here is to the foot race in the Greek Olympic Games. Everybody would have been well acquainted with the Greek Olympic Games. And God makes use of such illustrations to illustrate some spiritual truth. All of the parables of the Lord Jesus are this way, aren't they? He used some practical experience in life to illustrate spiritual truths. And here we have the Christian race. The first point that we would like to consider this morning on the subject of the Christian race is the entrance qualifications. Who are qualified to get into this Christian race? What are the qualifications? I think I could sum it up with the word citizenship. Only citizens are allowed. As far as the Greek foot races, the Olympic Games was concerned, no slave was allowed to be in the race. No foreigner was allowed to be in the race. No criminals were allowed in the race. Only citizens. And that was concerned. No slave was allowed to be in the race. No foreigner was allowed to be in the race. No criminals were allowed in the race. Only citizens, in that case, citizens of Greece. How do we apply that in the spiritual Christian race? You must be born again. You have to be a citizen. You have to be a citizen of heaven if you're going to be in the Christian race. I'd like you to notice, before we leave this point, that this assignment, the entrance qualification of the Christian runner, it's a divine assignment. It's a divine appointment. And I'd like you to notice in verse 1, the race that is set before us. Who is it that set the race before us? It was God. It's a divine appointment. It's a divine assignment. And that is why only citizens of heaven qualify for the Christian race. If you're a born-again Christian believer, if you have had an experience where you have repented of your sin and by faith you receive the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you qualify for the Christian race. The second point that we want to consider, the Christian race is a life of faith. Observe the past runners. It says in verse 1, a great cloud of witnesses. Those are the past runners. If we were to follow that through, we would find that in Hebrews chapter 11, we have a big, long list of past runners. Those that have run the race and they ran it well. Hebrews 11. That list of names in Hebrews 11, the heroes of the faith, I believe that they are examples for us. Not spectators. It's interesting to observe that there are some Bible commentaries that maintain this list of Old Testament runners in Hebrews chapter 11 are spectators, and they are looking down out of heaven and they're watching us as we are running the race. I have a little problem with that interpretation, frankly. I don't think it means they are spectators. I don't think it means that Moses is looking down and watching us in the Christian race. Not spectators, examples. I believe they're recorded in Hebrews chapter 11 as examples. You want to know how to run the Christian race? Study Hebrews chapter 11. In your Christian race, do you have family problems? It's possible. In the Philippine Islands, Christians have family problems. Young people come to the children's Bible studies and they get saved. And they go home and they tell mom and dad that they got saved, and that's no problem. The folks think it's great because the kids are behaving themselves. They never did that before. They're happy. But then I'll tell you what'll happen. One day those kids will come home and they'll say to Mom and Dad, the assembly is having a baptism. They're baptizing the new converts, and I would like to be baptized. I tell you, there's family problems, big ones. In some cases, they're excommunicated. Those of you that were brought up in a Christian home, you don't know anything about that. I know a little bit about it, but I have to tell you, 20 years later, Mom and Dad got saved. Do you have family problems? Study the life of Joseph. You think you had problems. Joseph had real problems. Oh, he was loved by his father, but he was hated with a passion by his brothers. They threw him into a pit that he might die. Then they decided they wanted to make a little money on him and decided to sell him as a slave to the Ishmaelites, who carried him down into Egypt. And he was in and out of prison down there. He had a rough time. But he had a problem with his family. And if you think you have a problem with your family, study the life of Joseph, and I think it'll encourage you. Do you have leadership problems? In your workplace, you're the supervisor. And those folks that are supposed to be listening, they're not listening. They're causing you a headache. Leadership problems. There are some who are having leadership problems in the home. The husband is designed to be the head of the home. And there are some homes where the husband is not the head. Leadership problem. Or in the church. Those of you that are elders, you know it's not an easy role, is it? To be a leader. You have leadership problems? Study the life of Moses. Moses was the leader of the children of Israel for 40 painful years in the desert. You think you're having problems as a leader? Study the life of Moses. The children of Israel, those that were to be followers, they rebelled. Rebelled against God, and they rebelled against their leader, Moses. But anyway, we are to observe the past runners and learn some lessons on the Christian race. I'd like you to observe the Lord Jesus. Verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus. Want to know how to run the race? Look at the Lord Jesus. Then in verse 3, it says, consider him. He's the one that can show us how to run the race. He is our example. He is our coach. And he is also the judge that is going to give out the prizes at the end of the race. The The Lord Jesus' incentive to run the race, what was it in verse 2? It says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He ran the race because there was joy ahead. What kind of joy could there have been for the Lord Jesus in the race that he ran to Calvary? The joy of saving precious souls, saving mankind. That was the joy that kept the Lord Jesus in the race. There was the joy of obedience, because you see, he was running the race in obedience to his Father, and the Lord Jesus was totally committed to obey his Father. There was the joy of one day occupying the throne in heaven where he is today. The word look, looking unto Jesus, that word implies faith, doesn't it? Look unto me, all ye... No, look unto me and be ye saved, saith the Lord. That's Isaiah 45:22. The word look in Scripture implies faith. Remember when the children of Israel were in the wilderness and they sinned against God, disobeyed God, disobeyed their leader Moses? Disobedience must be judged. Remember how God judged the children of Israel for disobedience? He sent poisonous serpents in their midst. And those poisonous serpents were biting the children of Israel, and one after another, they were dying because of sin, because of disobedience. Finally, they prayed that the Lord would take the poisonous snakes away, and God didn't answer that prayer, did he? You know how he answered it? He told Moses to make a serpent out of brass and put it on a high pole. And if anyone was bitten by a poisonous serpent, all they had to do was look. Look and live. That's the message of faith, isn't it? Look in Scripture, as we have it in this passage, describes a continuing attitude of faith, not just a momentary glance. It's a continuing attitude of faith from conversion to glory. In other words, keep your eyes on the goal. Who's the goal in the Christian race? It's the Lord Jesus, isn't it? He is the goal. And our job is to encourage one another in the Christian race. Not like Peter, remember? John's Gospel, chapter 21. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, follow me. Peter responded. He followed the Lord Jesus. And then Peter got his eyes off the goal. And he got his eyes on John, his fellow traveler, fellow runner. And he says to the Lord Jesus, what is this fellow doing? You told me to follow you. You didn't tell him. And you remember how the Lord Jesus handled that? He rebuked Peter. He as much as told Peter, mind your own business. You study John chapter 11. That's basically what the Lord Jesus told Peter. Mind your own business and run the race. The entrance qualification, you have to be a citizen. You have to be born again. It's a life of faith. And thirdly, the Christian race is not competitive. It's not competition. It's not competition, but I tell you, it's a challenge. The challenge that we have as Christians in the Christian race is to improve our own record. To do better than I did last year. Is that possible? I sure hope so. To do better than I did last year. That's the challenge in the Christian race, to improve our own record. In other words, what it means is when you're in the race, you don't elbow your fellow runner to push yourself ahead. That's not the way it works. That's what Peter was trying to do to John, wasn't he? He was trying to elbow John back and put himself ahead. It's a test of endurance and perseverance. The Christian race is not a 50-yard dash and then it's over with. It's a cross-country marathon that lasts a lifetime. As a runner, God wants you to start well, run well, finish well. That's what God wants from us. I'm sure you've met Christians that have started well in their Christian life. And they ran well. And they finished well. Isn't that beautiful? That's what God wants. I think we have a contrast in two personalities. I'll mention the names. Jacob, you know the story of Jacob. Jacob started well, but he didn't run very well, did he? Thank God, by the grace of God, he finished well. But he didn't run very well. In contrast to his son, Joseph, I think we can say of Joseph, he started well, he ran well, and he finished well. That's a good testimony, isn't it? Remember when Paul wrote to the Christians in Galatia? He says, you ran well. Who hindered you? There was something in their life that hindered them in their Christian race. When they got saved, they were all enthused and they were going so well, and then something happened. They were hindered in their race. The testimony of Paul is encouraging. He says, I press toward the mark. He was in the Christian race. He had a goal. The goal was the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I press toward the mark. Our fourth point, rules to obey. You can't be in the Christian race without rules. There are rules that need to be obeyed. We can't take the time to turn to all of the scriptures, but in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, we have strive lawfully. In order to win the crown, you have to strive lawfully. I looked up that word strive in the Greek. Strenuous zeal under difficulties and dangers is what they put in the dictionary. Strive lawfully. There are certain rules that have to be followed. And if we disobey those rules, we're disqualified. Another rule to obey, dress lightly. Notice what it says in verse 1. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Dress lightly. Isn't it foolish for a runner to have something heavy on his body when he's out there trying to run? Weights. What are the weights? Lay aside every weight. I would suggest that the weights are lawful things. There's nothing in the Bible that says that you shouldn't carry the weight. But it's a hindrance in the race. Let's just picture the runner in the literal race. And on his shoulder is a 100-pound bag of potatoes. There's nothing that says you can't do it. He can carry a 100-pound bag of potatoes if he wants to, but he'll never win the race. He'll never do very well in the race. Weights are lawful things, but they hinder. You remember blind Bartimaeus? When the Lord Jesus was walking down the road and he got word that Bartimaeus got word that the Lord Jesus was coming, and he cried unto him, have mercy on me. And somebody told blind Bartimaeus, the master is calling for you. You know what blind Bartimaeus did? He got rid of his heavy overcoat and he started running. Don't you think that was a beautiful scene? Blind Bartimaeus running towards the Savior. Threw his coat aside because he didn't want that weight to hinder him from getting to the Savior. What are some of the weights that we might be experiencing in our Christian life? How about tradition? I personally am quite well acquainted with tradition, with my religious background. There were certain traditions that we followed. for Christmas, for Easter, for all of the rest. They were traditions. And you know, there are some of the traditions in the religious world we'd be better off if we would forget. They're hindrances. They're weights that hold us down. Do you think money can be a weight to hold us back in the Christian race? Nothing wrong with money. I have an idea that everyone in the audience today, you've got some money in your pocket. Don't throw it away. It might come in useful before the day is over. Nothing wrong with money. But when money is a god in our lives, it's going to be a weight that will hinder us in our race. Business. Nothing wrong with business. Some of you are business people. It's beautiful. But we have to be very careful not to allow our business to become a weight to hinder us in our race as a Christian. Social activities. There's nothing wrong with social activities. But there can be a weight. Entertainment. Nothing wrong with proper entertainment. But you know, America is addicted to entertainment. Do you believe that? And some of those entertainers are earning $15 to $20 million a year. Pretty expensive entertainment, isn't it? Nothing wrong with entertainment if it's for the glory of God. But it can be a weight. But then there are the besetting sins. The sins are those sins that are identified. They disqualify the runner. Remember what Paul said, that he feared that he could become a castaway, disqualified in the Christian race. Going to take the time, we've got a few minutes left. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We have the subject of the Christian race. Reading from verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race run all, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain, it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. That's what Paul was referring to as a castaway. In other words, what this passage of Scripture is telling the Christian runner, pursue diligently. There has to be self-control, temperate in all things. There has to be self-discipline. He says, I keep under my body, I bring it into subjection. That's self-discipline. There has to be perseverance, not as one that beateth the air. There, I think, is the picture of the boxer. And he takes a swing at his opponent, and he's supposed to hit him in the jaw. But instead, he just passes through the air. Doesn't do too much harm, does it? That's the illustration that is being used. Our fifth point, and our time is gone, and that is the prize at the end of the race. There are five rewards recorded in Scripture. They're referred to as crowns. They're for the Christian runner. There's the crown of rejoicing. There's the incorruptible crown. There's the crown of righteousness. There's the crown of glory. There is the crown of life. There is five specific crowns mentioned in the New Testament Scripture. And the reason we're not going to go into detail of these five crowns is because that is a series in itself. Maybe sometime we can take that up as a series. But there are five crowns available for the runner. And I'd like to mention another crown, a crown of thorns. My Savior wore a crown of thorns so that these five crowns that are mentioned in the New Testament for the Christian runner are available for us. Strive lawfully. Dress lightly. Pursue diligently. One day the overcomer is going to sit with Christ on the throne. And one day those crowns that we may have earned as Christian runners, you know what we're going to do with those crowns? We're going to cast them at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be embarrassing in heaven to watch all of the brothers and sisters casting their crowns on the Lord Jesus? And all I have in my hand is a handful of ashes. That would be embarrassing. Paul says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for the Christian race. Every one of us that are born again Christian believers are in that race. We pray that we will strive lawfully, that we will dress lightly, that we will pursue diligently, that one day we may have a crown to cast at the feet of our blessed Savior. We pray in his worthy name. Amen.